You can be dismissed. We're going to start in Genesis this morning. I had too many scriptures to put on the screen this morning. So Genesis chapter 12 is where we're starting this morning, trusting his will. Maverick gave Tay a thumbs up when he went by. The title on this message, Trusting His Will, sounds pretty simple, doesn't it? We've always heard it our whole lives, right? God knows best, just trust God, just trust God, just trust his will. But as we get into this message, I hope that it becomes alive to us how important trusting his will is and how other people in the Bible trusted his will and how God honored that and how their faith was elevated because of it. You know, we pray prayers all the time. Hopefully we pray, and I know we pray for ourselves a lot. We pray for our needs to be met a lot. We pray for others a lot. We pray for healing. We pray for financial blessings. We pray for, you know, whatever we pray for. And when we pray, most of us, I would say, pray a certain way. One, we pray with faith, I hope. We pray believing that what we're asking is going to come to pass. The problem happens here, that when things don't come to pass the way we specifically pray, then sometimes our faith is dampened and weakened, and we lose sight. We roll back into this thing of, okay, well, either my faith wasn't strong enough when I prayed, or I haven't done enough to get it, or I've not lived right enough to receive it, or God just isn't honoring me the way he's honoring Joe Brown's life, whatever. But there's many times, I believe all times actually, that if we place our faith in God, he's going to take care of us and work it out according to the best plan for us. And I think that's what's happened through the church world for the last several, especially the last several decades, with different movements rising up of the kind of name it, claim it kind of gospel, to where I believe church and faith, I believe in it. But we have to understand we're serving God, and God is over all things. God is the head of all things. God is in control of all things. And if I really understand that and believe that and know that, then I've got to accept his plan for my life. Go to the next slide, Brandon. Look at this. The end result that God has planned for me is far greater than any of the results I have planned for me. Now, really think about that. Because I know, I know we make plans. It don't always come to pass. You know, I think about that one of the greatest movies of all time that I love, and I probably wore Melly out with it, but I love this movie, is It's a Wonderful Life. Jimmy Stewart. It's a black and white movie with Jimmy Stewart about he wishes he wasn't born, and the angel comes and makes him not born, and then shows him how his life would be not born. Have most of y'all seen that movie? It is a great movie. Love the movie. It's a Wonderful Life. Now, Jimmy Stewart, now, what was his name in the movie? Do I remember? Don't remember his name in the movie. Anyway, his whole goal was to get out of that town, away from that bank, and see the world. So his brother gets to go first because he joins the military. Gets to travel all over the world, but comes home decorated as a hero. He says, well, when he comes home, he'll take over the bank, and it'll be my turn to leave. Well, it didn't happen that way. He still got stuck there. And the whole movie ends up being, of course, him stuck there, never leaving the town that he desired. But we see in the end that that was what his plan was, no matter how much he hated it. See, I was born and raised in Statesville. On the playground, I spent most of my days. Chilling and relaxing, acting all cool, shooting some b-ball out by the school. And I always thought, you know, I want to get out of Statesville. When I was at Walmart, I had an opportunity to sign up for stores that could have took me out of North Carolina even. And I know Melanie can relate to this very well because she has lived other places. But I always thought I'd get out of Statesville, you know. I mean, who wants to live in Statesville their whole lives? I mean, you know, I'm just saying. And so it didn't work out that way. I'm now older and established. We have a ministry here. And all along, it was God's plan for me to stay here. And I'm okay with that. Because I realize that the plan God has for me is far greater than the plans I have for me. And that's learning to trust God's will. We don't always understand it. We don't have to understand it. It's like you tell your children, Maverick ain't always going to understand why you're saying no. Can I go stay the night with Bobby? No. Why not? Because I said so. You know that Bobby's got 3 felonies, and he's serving another one now. You're like, that ain't the best house for you to be in. So no, you can't go. But why, Mommy? Is he not a good person? He's okay, yeah, but I just trust me. Just trust me. I know what's best for you. We tell our kids that all the time without going into detail when they're little why we don't let them do things. Because sometimes we can't tell them because we don't want to sometimes say why they can't go. We just say no. Mommy knows best. God knows best. So when our answer to a prayer that we're praying in our eyes is no, we got to say, okay, God, it's what's best in your eyes. Because you know what's best for my life. I can't see around the next turn. I don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. I don't know what phone calls will change my life. I don't know what's going to happen. No one knows. But God knows. And that's what's important. So the end result God has planned is far greater than the result I have planned. Let's start in Genesis chapter 12. Talk about Abraham. This is 12 verse 1 through 4. The Lord said to Abraham, get you out of your country, away from your kindred, away from your father's house, unto a land that I will show you. I will make you a great nation. I will bless you. I'll make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless you. I will curse them that curse you. And in you shall all families of the earth be blessed. So Abraham departed as the Lord had spoken unto him, and Lot went with him. And Abraham was 75 years old when he departed out of Haran. 75. He's a settled man, church. I mean, even in that time period, he was a settled man. At 75, he left what he was familiar with. He left the place that he didn't even know who he was going to, just trusted God. He said, God, this must be your will. I'm comfortable here. I like it here. I got all my family here, all my friends here. My security is here. But Lord, if you're speaking to me to move and change all that now and go to somewhere that I've not yet seen, I've not yet been, I don't even have an answer. I mean, most of us at least would plan where we're going to go. If you're going to leave Statesville, well, I bought a house down at the beach. So I've got it closed. I know where I'm going. I've got a job lined up. I'm moving here, going there, reestablishing myself. Abraham didn't have that. God just says, get up and go. I'll show you along the way where you're going. And he trusted the will of God. And as we know, that worked out pretty good for Abraham because he did become a father of many nations. He was blessed, and we were talking about him thousands of years later. Chapter 22, Genesis, verse 1. It came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham and said to Abraham, behold, here I am. He said, take now thy son, thy only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get you to the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering up on one of the mountains, which I will tell thee. Now, this is like a horrible story of our God. God's telling Abraham to take his only son and burn him up on an altar. Understand one thing. We've got to know context and culture. And it was part of culture then. Human sacrifice was part of culture. To us, it seems hard today, but it was part of culture. But well, let's read the end of the story and see what God's plan really was for Abraham. Abraham rose up early in the morning, saddled his donkey, took 2 of his young men with him, and Isaac his son, and they clave the wood for the burnt offering. They got the wood up, they rose up, they went to the place where God had told him. Then on the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes, he saw the place afar off. And Abraham said to the young men, abide you here with the donkey, and my child, will go yonder. See, he was a southern boy, I love that. I will go yonder and worship and come again to you. And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering. He laid it up on Isaac his son. He took the fire in his hand and a knife, and they went both of them together. And Isaac spoke to Abraham his father and says, my father? He said, here I am, my son. He said, behold the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering? Even the son recognized they had nothing to sacrifice. So he's asking dad, what are we going to sacrifice? And they came, and Abraham said, my son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. So they went, both of them together. I love Abraham's faith here. They came to the place which God had told them of, and Abraham built an altar. He laid the wood in order, bound Isaac his son, laid him on the altar upon the wood. Abraham stretched forth his hand, took the knife to slay his son, and the angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. He said, Here I am. And he said, Lay not your hand upon your lad, neither do thou anything to him, for now I knowest that thou fearest God, seeing thou hast not withheld thy son, thy only son, from me. What a powerful story. What faith Abraham had. See, we see that that wouldn't be our plan. You know, Karina said, I'm going to sacrifice Greg. Come on, boy. Go put him on the altar and sacrifice him. Maybe Daisy felt like that, but not really. We'll lay him on the altar and sacrifice him. But all of a sudden, God showed up and says, Now I know your faith is truly in me. What God was really doing, he was seeing where Abraham was, where his faith really lied, and was testing Abraham to see, do you believe me enough, even above your own son? Do you love me enough, even above your own child? Do you trust me enough, even above your own circumstance? It didn't look good marching up that mountain with no lamb. It didn't look good when God told him to sacrifice his son. But in the end, God showed up and spoke, and his will was being produced in that offering. It wasn't that God ever intended Isaac to be sacrificed, but it was all part of God's plan. Doesn't make sense to us sometimes why God does things the way he does. Sometimes we're like, God, as Melanie said, you got some explaining to do. I don't quite understand this. I can't see it very clear. It sure don't line up with all the doctrine and Bible teaching I've learned. It sure don't line up with all the Sunday school stories I heard about sometimes. It don't seem to match what I've always been programmed to listen for. But God, I know your will is the best will, and that's what I'm going to trust. See, as we learn to trust in the will of God, we will have our faith so elevated. I think right now so many times we say we have faith, but our faith is so easily shaken. The first thing that comes along, we just give up on God. Give up on church, give up on serving, upon worshiping, upon praying, upon reading. We just give it all up. Because the first thing that comes along, the first trial, the first tribulation can so shake our foundation. Well, if our foundation is shaken by trials and tribulations, then our foundation is not established in who God is. Our faith has to be in Jesus and what he done and the will that God has for our life. And we trust that. We trust God above all. Next scripture will be in Daniel. Good old Daniel. And y'all know this story as well. Daniel chapter 3. And this is talking about the three Hebrew children and the fiery furnace. Chapter 3, verse 15 through 17 says this. This is the king. Now there's three Hebrew boys that won't bow the knee. They're at this big worship ceremony, and they're playing this music, and everybody's bowing but them. They're not bowing, because they don't believe in the God that Nebuchadnezzar is worshiping. So they make a stand, say, we're not bowing. So it picks up in verse 15 where the king says this. If you be ready that at what time you hear the sound of the cornet, the flute, the harp, the sackbut, the psaltery, the dulcimer, and all kinds of music, if you'll fall down and worship the image which I have made, well. But if you worship not, you shall be cast the same hour in the midst of a burning fiery furnace. And who is that God that shall deliver you out of my hands? How arrogant he was. How pompous and arrogant and ignorant he was to say, if you don't bow, who's going to help you? The God that you refuse, you're not bowing down because of the God that you worship. Can that God really protect you now? Are you willing to put all the dice on this? Are you willing to put all the cards on the table and say, okay, if I don't bow, can your God really deliver you? Do you really believe God can save you from my hands? Because I'm the king, and here's the oven, and there's my guards. And if you don't bow, this is what's going to happen. But I love their response, and this should be our response. This is so encouraging. I had a hair on my glasses. All right. It's growing while I preach. Thank you, Jesus. Verse 16, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said the king, here's what they told him. O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful. We don't even have to think about what to tell you in this matter. Here's verse 17. Look at this. If it be so, our God, whom we serve, he is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace. And he will deliver us out of your hand, O king. Be it known to thee, O king, that we will not serve your gods nor worship the golden image. I love what he said. Our God's able. But if he doesn't do it this way, we're still out of your hands. See, their faith was totally in God and his plan, not their plan. The king didn't intimidate them to bow just because he threatened them with fire. If that would have gotten them to bow because threatening a punishment, how secure and strong was really their faith? It wasn't. It's okay. It's all right. We a talky church. That's all right. It really wasn't. Because when you have faith in something, you believe it regardless of not being able to see it. I mean, the perfect example, right? Air. We always use that. We can't see air, but we know air is there. I don't think there's even no amount of ignorant, moronic atheist that believes there's not air. I don't see air. Well, what are you breathing? I don't know. I'm breathing because, I mean, they can't explain it. We know that we have air. 78, 22, whatever it is, oxygen, nitrogen mix that we have, and we know that we are breathing because there is air. We know there is wind. You can't see wind, but you see the effects of wind. The trees bent over and the leaves rolling and the clouds floating. You know there's wind, though you can't see wind. If I had a jar, here is wind. Isn't it pretty? There's wind. Look at the colors. Wow. That's wind. The only way y'all would know it was wind, if I opened that jar and blew all your hair back, your wigs flew off, your toupees rolled back. That's the only way you would know there was wind. You can't see it, but it's there. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego says, you know what? If this is God's will that we burn up, I'm okay with that. Because my faith's not in the king. And my faith not in what he stands for. And my faith not in the fear of punishment or reward. My faith is in the God who is able to deliver me. That was God's will. And we know what happened in that story. They threw him in a fiery furnace. King looked in there and says, did we throw three men in? Said, yes, O king. Well, I see four men in there. And one looks like the Son of Man. Hallelujah. The Son of God. And he said, get them boys out of there. And they came out. And the Bible says there wasn't even a stench of smoke upon them. They did not get burnt. Their clothes weren't rattled. They walked. It was a supernatural miracle because their faith was in the will of God. If it's your plan, we burn up, God. Oh, well, I'm not bowing to the enemy. I'm going to stand for what I believe in. That's you, God. You're able to overcome. Honoring and believing that God's will was best. Jeremiah 29:11. He says this. For I know the thoughts that I think towards you, saith the Lord. I know the thoughts I think towards you. Thoughts of peace and not evil, to give you an expected end. God's already prepared an end for us. He's already prepared it. So I trust that result. I trust that end. What's dangerous is when we think that an unanswered prayer on our behalf is an unanswered prayer on God's behalf. And that's not true. There are so many times God has closed doors in my life that we didn't agree with, and I let God know I didn't agree with it. And then I find out later, you know what? He was right. Me and Mel talked about that, different things in our lives where, you know, that wasn't the right season, wasn't the right moment, wasn't the right house, wasn't the right car, wasn't the right this. I mean, whatever. I went to look at a Jeep a few years ago. This is before I bought the one I had. I went to a car lot, and God just showed up in a mighty way because I was a stupid, okay? So I went to look at this Jeep, and I would have bought it. We were about, and I looked at it before, and nobody was there, and I kind of looked at it and looked inside of it, and then we left, and I said, well, let's go back and look at that Jeep again. Went back. The guy went out, popped the hood. The hood wouldn't even stay up. Kept falling down. He's like, I don't know why his hood ain't staying up. Well, then he went and tried to crank it. Guess what? It wasn't cranked. It's on a car lot. You know how embarrassed? It's a car salesman. I don't know why. Here's what I told him. He said, I don't know why it ain't cranking. I said, I do. Because it wasn't supposed to be for me. And we walked away and left. Now, my heart, my eyes, I wanted that Jeep. I liked it. I thought that's and I went with the intentions of getting it. And God closed the hood, decranked the car, and I went on my merry way. So God's will was done, not mine. And then when the Jeep I did get, which I got rid of now, but it was a good Jeep. I mean, it was a good Jeep. It was a Jeep. That's all I can say. It's a Jeep. But overall, for a Jeep, it was a good Jeep. Bless his heart. Some little 16-year-old girls driving it now. And anyway, but the moment I walked in and saw that Jeep, I knew. It was almost like a movie to where, you know, you walk into a room and it glows. And you hear, hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. And that's what I felt. I mean, I was like giddy inside, like a first date. Look at that Jeep. Oh my! I knew that was the one. And it was a good Jeep. I mean, it really was overall. It wasn't terrible. But that was the one God had for me. I didn't plan on it. But that's what it was. If we would learn to trust God's will, even above what we desire, and we have desires, okay, God gives desires. But sometimes those desires aren't the right things for our lives, even though they feel so right. They feel so good. And we think that's what we want. In our mind, that's what we want. But if we say, God, I really want what you want for my life. God, I trust your will because you've got a plan for me and I don't want to mess it up. God, I don't want to mess up the plan you prepared for me. And so I'll stay on the road. I'll go through the valleys, go through the storms, go through the high and low seasons. There's times of victory, there's times of defeat. There's times of joy, there's times of sorrow. There's times of darkness, there's times of light. But all of it's part of our journey. And through all of it, we can worship the Lord. Through all of it, like David in his sorrowful times, what did he do? He cried out to God over and over. He called out to God over and over for joy, for peace, for strength. Over and over, David cried out. David knew who he belonged to, and he knew where his faith lied. It wasn't in his situations. It was in his God. So Jeremiah tells us that he has a planned future, an expected end, his thoughts toward us. In other words, God has a on-purpose plan for us, intentional plan for us. And it don't always go the way that we plan. I mean, that is for sure. I'm sure Melanie never dreamed she'd be married at 18 years old, you know, still in high school. That wasn't her dream. Melanie's dream was to go to Hollywood and strike it big. She wanted to be an actress. Yeah, good, Selena. But you know, James Lewis came along, changed the world, rocked her world, turned it upside down. Oh, she was 15 when she had that dream. I'm sorry. 18, she done grew up. But anyway, she never expected to get married in high school. She didn't wake up, you know, I'm going to get married at 18, my senior year at West Iredale. I'm going to get married. And my husband will come in his Firebird and pick me up out of school and give me lunch money and sign my report card. That is my dream. But that's what God's plan was. You know, Christy and Bill met supernaturally. Christy's an Arkansas girl from the state of Arkansas, Razorback country. And Christy came up for a visit in North Carolina. And Bill saw her, and he was hooked, man, like a bass on a hook. He was hooked. And they were young, too. You were, what, 17 when y'all met? 17, and Bill was 19, just like me and Mally, when they met. And she came from Arkansas on a visit, and Bill saw her, and she ain't in Arkansas no more, is all I'm saying. 25 years later, she's here. That wasn't Bill's plan. Wasn't Christy's plan. It just happened. That was God's plan. And so what I'm saying is God knows what's best, and most time it doesn't work the way we plan it. You can write up a script of how God's going to do things, and I promise you, throw it in a fire pit and light it up, because that ain't going to happen that way. God will do it his way, his time, exactly how he wants to do it. All right, next scripture. We are in, Matthew. Matthew chapter 26. Verse 36, this is Jesus talking. This is the story of him in the Garden of Gethsemane. He's about to be crucified. Starts out in verse 36 saying, then cometh Jesus with them to a place called Gethsemane. And he said to the disciples, sit here while I go and pray yonder. He took with him Peter, the two sons of Zebedee, and began to be sorrowful and very heavy. He saith unto them, my soul, this is Jesus talking now, my soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even unto death. Wait here and watch with me. He went a little further, he fell on his face, and he prayed, saying, O my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou will. Even Jesus prayed this prayer. I don't want to go this way. Remember, he was human as well. Nobody looks forward to facing a crucifixion. It was the most horrific death possible. You literally suffocated to death in crucifixion. The way they hung you on the cross, you would suffocate while you were on the cross. Literally lose your breath while you were alive. All the pain he went through, he says, if there's any other way, Father, can we try that? But if not, God, if this is the way, I want this to be the way. What a courageous prayer for what he was facing. We can learn from this example. Lord, let this cup pass before me. But if not, Lord, not don't let it be my will, let it be your will. I want you, God, to have the final say-so, because I trust you that much. I trust you so much. You know, we were out of town a couple of days, as y'all know, up in Pittsburgh, and we had Mike and Pam took us around. It was wonderful. I never drove once I got to the hotel. I never drove the rest of the way. They took us around everywhere, all downtown. We went to different parts of the city. And it's very intimidating if you've never been to Pittsburgh to drive it. I mean, there's bridges everywhere, roads everywhere, ramps everywhere, big buildings everywhere. I mean, it's everywhere. I'd have been totally a basket case trying to drive down there. Melon would have been more of a basket case than me driving down there. But I would have been like, you know, because you don't know where you're going to end up, you know. You just don't know what's going to happen. Well, you know what? They drove us around. Guess what? I was in the front seat with Mike. I didn't worry about nothing. Trusted him completely to take me where I was going to take me. Park. I didn't give him no direction. Didn't tell him, why aren't we doing this? Or shouldn't you go on this bridge? Or shouldn't you turn here? I sat back and enjoyed the ride. I had full confidence. He knew where he was going. And my travel was in his hands, so to speak. If we could have that same confidence in Christ, sit back and enjoy the ride. Well, Lord, we in a part of town I ain't so sure about. A little shady, if you ask me. Just enjoy the ride, because you got to go through some shade to get to some light. Oh, hallelujah, I just felt that. Wasn't that good? Sometimes you got to go through some shade to get to the light. It's okay. It is okay. I know we got one place, the Strip District, Karina. And I told Mike, I said, man, I feel like a bad man. Gangster down here. Mike said, oh, it ain't that bad down here. I said, we ain't going to look like this in Statesville. That's all I'm saying. Oh, me. Looking around, keep my eyes out, you know. Keep my hand in my wallet real tight. Walking through the Strip, you know. But I trusted them. And I knew they knew what they were doing. Let's trust that God knows what he's doing. Jesus didn't want, his humanity did not want to face the cross, as any of us wouldn't. But his prayer was, God, whatever your plan is, because your plan realized is the best plan that's there. And that's what I need to be a part of, your plan. I've been very disappointed through the years. I'll be honest. At church, I still believe in divine healing. I believe God in miracles. I believe God can touch. I believe God can raise someone from the dead. If they fell in this church this morning, dead, God could raise them up. I believe in that. But something I've learned to believe in a little bit more even is trusting the will of God. I used to have to understand that. I used to always put it on me. If I was a better preacher, more folks might be saved. If I was better this, my family would be more together. If I had done this, this wouldn't be the result. If I'd been more of that, and we can beat ourselves up thinking it's all about what we have done, when all honesty, there is a path and a plan God has for us. And sometimes that path has some West Virginia crooks all in it. That's okay. Just follow the wind, because you eventually get to the top. Sometimes it's straight as Nebraska, where you can see 50 miles ahead. That's great too. But man, there's sometimes you don't know what tomorrow's going to bring. We trust God. Your will for my life is what I really want. If this cup can pass, great. But God, if not, I'm willing. Because I know that you have my best interest. I truly believe, I've learned that too. that God, we can't explain things. I understand that. And here's what I was going to say a while ago. So many times as Christians, we get disappointed and we lose our way because God didn't move in a way that we prayed. We anointed them with oil. We prayed over them in the spirit. We fasted for them. We grieved for them. We shouted for them. We prophesied for them. We declared their names in the heavens for them. And they still pass off the earth. And if we're not careful, it'll take us way back. What I've allowed to do in my life is to take me back to the will of God. Say, Lord, I don't understand it, and I sure don't like it. It's okay, church. We don't like it when we lose people we love. We don't like it when things don't go our way. We don't like it when we get fired from a job. We don't like it when they repo the car. We don't like those things. But if we could learn just to trust God and say, Lord, I don't like it, I don't understand it, but I know you know all things, and I'll keep on worshiping you, I'll keep on praising you, I'll keep on serving you, and I will not give up, I will not walk away, and I will not be discouraged, for the blood of the Lamb has already been slain, and so I know in the very end what my future holds. I know in the very end where I'll be. I know what the final result from my life is, an everlasting life with you. And I trust that. And Lord, if I can trust that you secured my eternal future, surely I can trust you with my perishable present. Surely I can. Next verse. Got a few more here. Philippians 4:11. This is Paul talking. It says, now that I speak in respect of want, I have learned. Paul's learned something. In whatsoever state I am, I'm going to be content. I know how to be abased. I know how to abound. In other words, I know when I don't have anything, and I know when I got a lot. I know when I'm blessed, and I know maybe when I'm in a little bit of a slump. Everywhere and in all things, I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. Paul had learned, God, whatever your will for my life is, I'm content with that. If I'm eating bread and water one day, hallelujah. If I'm eating T-bone baked potato the next day, more hallelujah. But it's all hallelujah. Because I've learned to be content. Here's how we can be content. That we begin to understand and recognize that we are where God wants us. That's the secret. I'm where God is. He'll want me. I may not want to be here, but I'm where you want me to be. And so I've learned to trust that and be content in that and be satisfied with that and be filled with that knowledge and revelation. I can do all things. I can be all things. I can conquer all things. I can endure all things. I can suffer all things through Christ, which strengthens me. That's my strength. That's my power. It comes from on high. It comes from Him. And I've got to trust that. Next scripture. We wrap it up with Romans 8. This is Don Childers' verse coming up. It will be read at his funeral. No time soon, we hope. But it will be read. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought to. Think about that. We don't even know what we should be praying for because we, in our carnal mind, we pray for things like this. It's okay. It's who we are. We pray for things that are current situations. We pray for things that are currently bothering us. We pray for things that are in our present. We pray for things that, whether it be natural things like, Lord, I need my bills paid. Lord, my body's in pain. Lord, help me with this. Give me peace. Remove the stress. Remove the anxiety. Remove the bitterness, the grief, whatever we're battling. We pray for things in our present, which is okay. But maybe God's wanting to do something else that we aren't aware of. And so Paul says that we don't really know what we should pray for, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. It's a beautiful thing to realize as we learn to pray that we just let the Spirit take over. And we just, you know, there's times that I pray out loud when I'm praying, a lot, of course. And there's times I'm just quiet. There's times that I'll kneel down, close my eyes, and I won't say anything. I'm just quiet. And I began just to let the Spirit and focus on who He is and what He wants from my life, what He wants from my life, not what I want from my life. And when I begin to do that, then I begin to hear God's voice, and God's voice will even flow out sometimes as I'm praying, because God is answering something I didn't really pray for, but something that the Spirit is praying for on my behalf. It's a beautiful thing. I was telling Mike this down there in Pittsburgh, Karina, that when you were in the hospital years ago, we first started ministry, you hadn't started coming, you know, I don't think. You were really sick. You about died. And I came to the hospital to see you. And it's before we even started. Had we started church yet at all? Just barely started. And I went to see Karina. I pray with her. She don't remember it. Okay. We did a fire department. I went and prayed for her in her room, and she was out of it. She didn't even know I was there. But I remember laying my hands and praying for her. And then when I was walking out, I shared this with Mike. When I was walking out to the elevator, the Holy Spirit rose up. And I remember just very briefly saying something in tongues out loud, just me in the elevator. Something just very came out in tongues. And then when I said that, it came out this: she will live and not die. She will live and not die. And that flowed out of me. That wasn't me. I done said my little pastor prayer, the thing I'm supposed to do, right? Lord, help her, heal her, you know, do the pastor thing. But then I got to the elevator, the God thing happened. The real thing happened, to where the Spirit rose up in me in the elevator, and it gave me peace. And I knew going, I took elevators back then. Wow, stop about that. Okay, I was brave then. That's right, that's right. And I was going down the elevator. I remember having a complete peace about Karina. I wouldn't worry no more because God had spoken. God, not me, God had spoken. And I shared that with Mike, and he, you know, I want him to know about that. And here she is 15 years later, very much alive. I came out of there, and it was very shady for a while. I mean, it was, she could have went either way. So that's the power of letting the Spirit intercede and letting it just pray for something maybe that we don't, are you aware to pray for? Then here's verse 27. He that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. The will of God. Now I know what you're thinking. I'm not trying to give you a free pass just to not do anything and not sow any right seeds and not put forth your effort and just wake up and, I ain't gonna go to work today. Pastor said God's will be done. So I'll probably get paid anyway if I don't show up, because God loves me and hallelujah, I felt that. His will be done. No, we still do our part. We go to work and we do what's right and we do all we know to do. But then we learn to trust that when we've done all we know how to do, we trust that God is doing what He knows to do. And we rest in that. The will of God. Then verse 28. We are gathered here together to talk about Don Childers this morning. As he lays there in peace, I want to read this, Romans 8:28. We know all things. All things. Let's just focus on that part. We know, Paul's saying, we know that all things, deaths, even sickness, whatever comes in our lives, if we get this, we know all things work together for good to them who love God, to them who are called according to His purpose. This verse has changed my life in recent years, because I realize, God, You are working things out for good for me. Once again, I know I can't explain everything. It doesn't make sense why people die young of cancer, why good men of God. I've lost two preacher friends of mine, both in their 50s in recent years. It makes no sense to lose somebody like that. It's hard to explain. How's that Your will, God? How's that working out good for my life? How is that possibly working out good? And I don't have the answer to that. I just revert back to this. God, I trust You more than I trust what I see. I trust You more than what I even feel. I trust You more than my anger, than my grief, than my questions. I trust you more. I trust you more, God, than whatever comes my way. I trust you more than the layers of darkness that's all I can see. But I know that you are light. And though I'm in that darkness and I can't see that light, just as a cloudy day has the sun, you can't see it, you know it's there. That's how we got to see God. In the days of our cloudiness, in the days of our darkness, we know the sun is still shining and the sun is still above the clouds, and the sun at any moment can dispel all points of darkness. At any moment. And that's what I got to trust. I've got to trust that. If we try to live our Christian life based on the good and the bad that's happening to us and how we serve God, whether it's good or whether it's bad. I told you I had a guy years ago that came here. He came here for years and came to me one day and said, "Pastor, I'm going to stop giving my tithes." I said, "Okay, well, why?" He said, "Because God just ain't doing what I think he should be doing. And I give and give, and I'm still the same boat I always was, so I don't think it makes no difference." You know what I felt like doing? Boo, bad. Really? That's your mentality? Because, you know, the magic genie didn't pop out. You know, Barbara Eden, who was very hot back in the 60s, didn't pop out of the bottle. And he wasn't Major Nelson. I mean, all of a sudden you just give up on God. Are you serious? So you're giving just so God will always bless you, or are we giving out of a heart of worship? So if you use that mentality, then why are you still praying to God, Mr. So-and-so? Do you still read your Bible? Yeah. Are you still coming to church here? Yeah. Do you still raise your hands during worship? Yeah. Why? Has God changed your life that much? It's amazing how we get caught up in things and how we serve God based on what he thinks he is or isn't doing in our lives. Here's the one thing we know he did for all of us. As by one man sin came unto all the world, so by one man righteousness came unto all the world. He did that for me. I didn't earn that. I don't deserve that. Wasn't there to do anything for it. But to know that he died on that cross, he suffered, the cup did not pass from him, but he fulfilled the will of God by going to the cross. That gave me everlasting life. And I have a future that no man can take away, and no amount of poverty or sickness or disease or trials or troubles or stress or fears or any of the junk I've got to face. There is no pain that could come against my life that can take away the birth that I've already been given through Jesus. I am redeemed. I have an inheritance. We read it Wednesday night, 1 Peter 1. I have an inheritance that's undefiled, that fadeth not away, that's reserved for me in heaven. That's my future. And man, when our future looks that bright, how are we so pulled down? It's part of the journey. I know we don't like going through pain. I know it doesn't, sometimes life doesn't seem fair. But I think about that song, as we just praise his name. You know what that does? As we praise the name of Jesus, it takes our focus off of us and what we're going through and puts it on who we're serving, on him. It's hard to sing about Jesus and stay discouraged. It's hard to sing about Jesus and stay feeling sick and defeated. Because that name, when you start focusing on that name, all of a sudden it just melts everything else away. All things work for good. That's my last verse, right? If we could learn to trust his will, that would grow us as Christians. Once again, I'm not saying we stop praying for things. I'm not saying God can't still move in miraculous ways. He does, can, and always will. But there's times he doesn't move the way that we are in our minds thinking he should move. It doesn't mean he is not moving. It means we got to trust what he's doing is right. We got to trust it. And oh, that is so hard. But it's changed how I serve, because I realized I've got to serve God and trust him fully and not blame myself or others for things not working out. Sometimes it's not just supposed to be. Sometimes God is protecting you from your own self. And that's hard to swallow. You know, church, I'm so thankful for this ministry, and I'm thankful what God has done. I can't tell you how blessed that I feel. But in the early years, it was a struggle a little bit for me personally, because I left something that I loved so much. I left a corporate world, which I loved, and I enjoyed it. And no matter what some of the Walmart folks say here, I was good at it. And It was my thing. It was absolutely my thing. Man, I would tell you, I mean, I lived and breathed retail. On the way to the beach, I used to count how many food lines we passed. Drive Melanie crazy. I was a retail guy, you know. I'd count how many food lines. I'd look at where they were. I wouldn't know what store number they were. I was a retail nerd. I was like Marjorie and Bill. I was a retail nerd because it's what I did. And I was all in, and I loved it. I was usually always the last manager on my shift to leave the store, always. I was the last one. The assistants would go, and I'd always usually hang out in 30 minutes, 45. I would stay later than any other manager when I worked my long day so I could meet with third shift, have a meeting, talk to them, see all of them, thank all of them. That's what I did, and I loved it. And my goal was to stay with it and keep going and be the corporate guy and all that, and then this happened. I told you, I told Melanie about that. I said, you know, God has spoken to me. It's time for me to leave, go full time. And Melanie said, are you sure it's God's voice you heard? It's a big step, church. It's a huge step. We didn't have all this in place when I left. We're still at Monticello Fire Department. No land, no building. No established church body. I had a few, but not enough to really take that kind of leap and say, okay, we're going to be okay. But I can't tell you how God's blessed, how God's provided, and what God has done. I'm glad God's will was done and not mine. Looking back, I've had times of struggle and doubting. But then I look to what God has done in the last 15 years, and I know that God has been in this. And I'm thankful. A Christian is trying to church out this morning with a teacher friend of hers. She's been struggling so bad. She's been texting me the last couple weeks, and you know, I finally told her, I said, look, honey, we know there's no church like Living Word, okay? Let's get off the table. No church like Living Word. So you've got to stop comparing every church to Living Word. You're going to have to find what God has for you there. And it may be totally different than Living Word, and that's okay, as long as it's God's in it. That is okay. So she's going to church this morning with a teacher, and I told her, I said, go to church somewhere different every Sunday if you have to. Every Sunday, pick a different church until you hear God's voice, and you'll know where to be. She's hungry, and I want y'all praying that God plants her somewhere. She's hungry. She misses. She listens to me online and says, that helps. I listen to your messages every week and said, that so helps me spiritually. But said, I miss the fellowship. I miss connecting into a local church because she wants to be in the right church. She goes to some churches where the singing's great, but there's no preacher there. Screen comes down, there's a preacher. She comes to some where, you know, the singing's good, but the preaching's not very good. She went to some where she feels like she's judged walking in the congregation by different people, and she's having a hard time fitting. But sometimes God takes us out of the box we're used to and puts us somewhere totally different. And that's okay. That's why I told her this morning. And she says, that's good advice. Thank you, Daddy. Calls me Daddy at 23. I love that. You know, D-A-D-D-I-E, Daddy. Pretty neat. She's hungry. So she's asked about all the different nominations and this and this and this. And I'm trying to get her to, you know, kind of direct her to one that maybe was more used to what she's familiar with. But, you know, she'll find her way. She will find her way. Oh, man. Did you see my Pittsburgh pictures, Don? I got one. I thought about you because you're from there. I got one. It seems crazy. And y'all are going to think I'm stupid. But there was a nun sitting on the street. A nun dressed like a nun. And I got a picture of her. I pretended I was taking a picture of the graffiti above her so she wouldn't think I was taking one of her. And I got my phone. And I kind of hold it up and then kind of down. And she's just sitting there in her little white, black suit. And mommy and Rodney. And if you don't know what that means. The skit we did a few years ago. Yeah, Rodney came out dressed like a nun. He wasn't a pretty nun. But I was like, that is so, you don't see that around here. That was so cool seeing a nun on the street. They were doing some kind of fundraiser or something. I started to go up to her and say, can I get a picture with you? I really did. But I thought that might not be good taste. So I just stood across the street and got one. And then Don, when we was in downtown the Friday night doing the Christmas light up, Mike pointed out to me, we saw the highest ranking Catholic in Pittsburgh. He was there. Yeah, so he was the highest ranking Catholic man in Pittsburgh. Older guy, probably in his 70s, and he was there. And the movie Up. That's what he looked like. Yeah. I didn't go tell him that. No, it was. The strip district, that's what Mike told me. So we're going to the strip district. It's not what you think, Pastor, okay? It was just a cool collection of old-style flea, kind of like how you go to downtown Charleston to the open markets, kind of like that. And they had a produce store. They had a fish market. All kinds of, they had some bakeries and sports stores and just a modge podge of shops. Been there for years and years and years, some since 1900. And it was pretty neat, though. But the nun just tickled me. I'm like, there's, it's like a little boy at Disney World. There's a nun. I never seen one before. You don't see them around here. So anyway. Marjorie, come on up, if you would. Let's learn to trust his will, church. Our life will be so much more at peace if we could trust his will. Because here's what happens. When things don't work out the way we think, we are always questioning and beating ourselves up and doing all of that stuff. Instead of just resting and saying, God, you know what's best. I'm going to trust you. You've got this. I'm going to enjoy the ride of life that you provided for me. It may not always be what I want, but God, I know you've got me through it all. And I can still worship you. That's how we can still worship in the bad times, the low times, when we truly trust God. I want you to sing that song some Wednesday night if you don't mind. You can do another one at the offering. But y'all stand up with me if you would. She sang a song Wednesday night. Just ties up the message perfect. This little chorus. Y'all can help her sing it. Going through, and every day I'm going to praise him. Every day I'm going to lift his name on high, because his name's above every name, every day and all the time. His name's above every battle we go through and every circumstance that comes our way. His name's above those things. His name's above every unpredictable circumstance that creeps itself into our lives. It's greater than that. His name is above every sin we fall into, every dark place we find ourselves, every low point that we think, how did I get here? His name is still above that name. And as we praise his name, he lifts us up and lifts us out and reminds us, yes, my hand is on you, and I've got you in every season, and I've got you in every moment, and I'm never letting you go. For I am your God, and you are my people, and my promise will be realized. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Y'all can be seated for a minute if you wish, and the ushers come up this morning. let you update you. We did get our doors fixed that we talked about last week. They came last Wednesday, replaced this door and that door with the bars. We have security now that's watching outside for the church. Ralph's helping this morning. We appreciate that. And we've got several guys that volunteer to be rotating around. So doors secure and the eyes are watching. So we just want to make sure things are in place to protect this flock, because you just never know what crazy person may do. Not me kind of crazy, real crazy. And so just want to thank you. Thank you for your support last week. Thank you for the giving last week. We had someone especially gave to cover one of the doors, and we appreciate that very much. We really do. They were $400 a piece to replace those, and we appreciate that kind of support very much. Made a difference, and feel much better. Y'all can always get out, so they're not locked from the inside. So if anything happened in the sanctuary, hit that bar, you're out. But nobody can get in. So it's locked from the outside, but access from the inside. So just want to do our part. Father, we thank you for this service and for your word. Let us trust your will. Let us realize what you have planned for us is far better than what we have planned for us. And it's hard in bad times to understand that, God. It doesn't seem right sometimes of why things happen. But our faith must be in you, not in what's happened to us, but in you, God. I pray hearts are encouraged today by this word, that we leave here with more victory than we came, realizing we cannot stay defeated if our eyes are always on you. Bless this offer today, Lord, if our tithes and offerings are given, and use it for your glory. In the name of Jesus, amen.